If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in His beauty. When I've gone the last mile of the way, when I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. If for Christ I proclaim the glad story, if I seek for His sheep gone astray, I am sure He will show me His glory when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Here the dearest of ties we must sever. Tears of sorrow are seen every day, but no sickness, no sighing forever. When I've gone the last mile of the way, when I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. And if here I have earnestly striven and have tried all His will to obey, 'twill enhance all the rapture of heaven when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to go the last mile with You and to go every mile before then. Help us, God, be wise enough to take advantage of this mile, this night, this opportunity that we'll never have again. Help us, God, and help our hearts to take it in. We might be a benefit to other people while we're alive. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you for the opportunity.
This is a golden opportunity, this night is. So will tomorrow morning be. First thing we're going to do is take a test. Brother Jim, True or false? Number one, Jim Gregory. The Bible clearly indicates that although God made man upright in the beginning, man has created many perverse ways of living. True or false?
False.
Why is that false, Jim?
Man can't create.
Because man can't create. That's right. Okay, number two. Debbie? Gregory? In the Old Testament, day begins when the sun goes down. True or false, Debbie?
It's true.
You sure it's true? You got a doubtful look on your face. Huh? Yeah, but you're not sure. Your face is two shades redder.
Well, it must be hot in here.
What'd you say?
It's true.
I want you to say it with some confidence.
It's true.
Good job, Debbie. Number three. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God called the firmament earth. Jimmy?
False.
Did anybody miss that? Did anybody miss that? You missed it. Were you here last week?
No, we weren't.
That's your only excuse. That is false. Kathy, you've got to go home. No. She's got her car with her. Okay, she's safe. It's heaven, right?
Right.
Okay, number four. Man was created in the image of God. True or false, Kathy?
True.
That's true. All right. Number five. Debbie? Adam named the animals that were on the earth, in the air, and in the sea. True or false, Debbie?
False.
Why?
I don't know.
You don't know? Because you had a 50-50 chance? What do you say, Token?
True.
Well, you got a false and you got a true. Stacy? What do you say? Hey, you said true? You and Token said true? Anybody with that? With them? Raise your hands. Look at all the people in your denomination. Who said? You raised your hand, Debbie. You said false a minute ago. Oh, good grief. Who says with Debbie what Debbie meant to say in the beginning?
False.
False. Well, we want it to go by majority. We'd all be wrong. Because it is false. Now, this doesn't require any community chat room here. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is open the Bible up and read it. That's a shortcut. See, we don't have to sit around and debate it, do we? Huh? What does it say? Somebody read it out loud, then we can stop talking and move on to the next one. Who has it? Listen. Now, Leanne and Mark, I can't hear her. Read it again, Sandy.
Okay, Genesis 2:20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him.
It doesn't say anything about those fish creatures, does it? Water creatures. Now, Mark, did I hear you tell Leanne she cheated?
Yeah,
she
told her that too.
You got number 6 wrong, and she changed it. I'm the one that told you.
No changing your answer after we're grading it.
She's just bragging that she finished the test before I did.
Yep. Well, now, if she finishes a long time before you do, she gets to change one.
It wasn't that long.
Okay, number 6, the one that Leanne missed. Drew, number 6. God named Eve, true or false?
False.
You say false? I didn't ask anybody but Drew. This is a very strict rule that I have. I will ask you if I want to hear your voice. This is Drew's problem. And Drew, I got confidence in you.
I'm going to go with false.
You're going to go with false. Anybody say true?
I said true.
She did the
Leanne best. Said true.
I would not say true.
Julie said true. Randall said true. Who else said true? Come on, be honest. Be honest. I feel like a Christian minister saying, come on, another hand. Can I have another hand? Who said true? Okay, thank you. You've confessed, now you can correct it. It is false, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, number 7. Leanne, you get to show them what you know now. The Bible states that the devil deceived Eve. True or false?
False.
Why?
Because it doesn't state it was the devil. It just said it was a serpent.
Leanne, do you believe the devil deceived Eve?
Well, what am I supposed to say here?
What do you think?
I think it was a serpent that deceived Eve. That's all I know.
What do you? What's your gut feeling?
You didn't ask anybody else that. What do I think?
Do you really feel that the devil deceived Eve? I didn't know this was going to be such a hard thing.
I don't want to say the wrong thing.
You can't say a wrong thing if you're just telling how you feel.
Okay, I think it was probably the devil.
Well,
the Bible.
I kind of think it was the devil too.
Oh, good.
What do you think, Julie?
I kind of think it was the devil too, even though it was the serpent that did it.
Does the Bible call the serpent a devil? I mean, is it
a
devil?
It calls the devil a serpent one time, but never calls serpents devils.
Yeah.
Oh, Leanne, it wasn't supposed to be that hard. Okay.
The answer is false.
The Bible never says that in the Old or the New Testament. Nowhere. Nowhere. Never says that the devil deceived Eve. Even though we know that rascal was involved. All right, Mark. The Bible indicates that the forbidden fruit was an apple.
False.
Anybody say true? What kind of fruit was it really, Mark?
Didn't say.
That's right. Unknown. All right, John. The one who asked Eve to eat the forbidden fruit was the serpent. True or false?
True.
Everybody say true? Who said true? Who said false? Who dared to say false?
Julie. I said false.
Julie, you said false. Well, that's good because that's true. That's the right answer. Liam is it. Boy, she likes to tell on you, doesn't she? Look, let me explain that. Then 15 of you won't have to explain it to the other 35. Okay? He never asked her to do it. Never. That would have been too obvious. We'll look at that when we read over it. That's false. Julie's false answer was true. All right, Miriam. Number 10, God punished the serpent as well as Adam and Eve.
Me?
Yes.
True.
Yes. See, Leanne, she doesn't have a hard time answering questions. All right, Al. Number 11, God set angels east of Eden to keep the way of the tree of life. True or false?
False.
Why is it false?
Because they were cherubim.
They were cherubim, not angels. Do we have to go through this mourning period every time we answer a question? Number 12, Randall. When Abel murdered his brother Cain, God was very displeased. You think God was happy? It was Cain that killed Abel. That's right. I wrote it wrong. Abel never killed Cain. He didn't live long enough. Has everybody recovered now so that we can move on? Everybody? ought to set up a minute and a half time limit for each question. Everybody could have.
Yes.
Anybody need any Kleenexes? Doris, you doing okay? All right. James Randall. Number 13, the oldest man who ever lived died before his father did. What?
True.
True? Who's, that's what he got. Well, what did James Randall have? What do you say, Leah?
I say false.
Why? Because it's a scientific impossibility, right? How could the oldest man who ever lived die before his father did? Well, what if his father never died? As in Enoch and Methuselah. What? What? What's the answer? The answer is true. Why? You said
okay,
you knew
God,
the answer.
God took the man away.
God took the man away.
God took his father away.
God took the man's father away. You know who?
No.
The, that's right. I can't even agree with people without confusing them. Now, we know that Methuselah is the man that lived the longest, right? Say yes. Okay, now what was his father's name? Enoch. Good, very good, Abigail. Enoch. Okay, next. Doris. In the flood, God destroyed all the animals in the earth and the air and in the seas that were outside the ark. True or false? Wait. You've already had one. You haven't?
No, but I forgot.
Take this one.
No.
Go right ahead. Take this one. She wants you to. I want you to tell me what you feel in your heart of hearts.
Okay.
No, don't look at the paper. Just look deep in yourself, Doris.
She made me forget. I think it's false.
You think it's false? Why do you think it's false?
Because the animals in the sea.
Well, the animals in the water wouldn't have been, wiped out by more water. So that's false. Animals outside the ark in the water that lived in the water didn't die. Oh, well, a bunch of them did just because of the turmoil, but many of them survived. That is false. We'll see it when we read through there. All right, Rodney. There were 8 people in the ark. True or false? How do you know it's true? Who was in the ark?
Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives.
Very good. 8 people. Noah, his wife, and 3 sons and their wives. Sister Willie, Noah went into the ark before the animals did. True or false?
I put true, but I really don't know whether they did or not.
Who said true? That's a big denomination. Who put false? Y'all need to repent. Noah went in first. The animals went in unto Noah. How's everybody doing here? Really? Let me see that one there. Hey, look at that. Man, it's all right. Woo-hoo. This is an easy test, isn't it? Okay, number 17. You ready, Polly? Some animals were taken by 7s, not by 2s, into the ark. That is true. Okay, Sister Patsy, number 18. The flood waters came from heaven and also from beneath the surface of the earth.
True.
Is that right? What do you say?
True.
You sure? You really sure? Well, I'm glad to hear that. That is right. Okay, Christopher. After 40 days and nights, the ark finally landed on a mountain.
True.
Everybody say true?
No.
Well, that's good. It was about 150 days or more after that before the ark. Well, actually, longer than that.
150 days.
Yeah. Oh, no. Just mark that one out. No. That's supposed to be false. I mean, 150 or 6 months later is after 40 days. Boy, Bob, you know how to throw a kink in stuff, don't you? Okay, number 20. Marlena, the ark landed on Mount Sinai.
False.
Who else said false? True? Let me see some truths. Now, Sheila, you know that the ark did not land on Mount Sinai. I'm not even going to talk to you about that. That is not even negotiable. There's no explanation. That is wrong. It's got an A in it. I can see that right off. That A in Sinai just sticks right out, doesn't it? All right. She did hurt her back this week. Ache starts with an A. Back's got an A in it. Pain.
Yeah. Give it to her.
Hey, Sheila, count it right. Count it right. Right. I can't take it anymore. And you're going to make an A, right, Sheila? All right, Julie, number 21. So, okay, everybody ready? Have you recuperated yet? This is tough. After some animals died when the ark broke apart upon Mount Sinai and a large, let's just say it's Ararat there, Mount Ararat, and the larger animals were affrighted by the great noise and trampled some small ones trying to escape. You put true? Who else put true? You're the only person in the whole world that put true. Okay, well let's just say it's Ararat because it's got an A in it. If I change that to Ararat now, how many trues do we got? You're still the only one. That's right. Only the big ones escaped from Mount Sinai. All right. Leah, God put a rainbow in the sky as a sign of his covenant that he made with Noah as well as with every living creature of all flesh after the flood. True or false?
Julie's paper, true.
Your paper?
True. True. I meant true. That's why I meant to say.
See,
says true.
Yeah, true, false, real close together. That is true. Amanda, God created man as a vegetarian and men began to eat flesh only after the flood. Everybody be quiet after she answers because I got to tell you something.
I put false because the flesh threw me. I knew they were eating meat, but the flesh threw me.
You were trying to make it a trick question.
That's a trick answer.
It's a trick answer. I don't know what to do with it. That's a shame. You should have put true on that one. That is true. Now, those of you who took it last week, don't give the papers back yet. Don't want a bunch of paper shuffling. You're taking exactly word for word the same test you did last week when you came in here. I'll tell you why I did that. It might not work in your case, but it worked great in community college. Because after I taught it about 15 years, I realized that it really didn't make any difference if people read the Bible or not. The first week, two, they were going to think whatever they wanted to think, no matter what the Bible said. So I came up with this idea. This test right here, by the way, was always given on the second night after people who never had seen me before had read the first 11 chapters, and they usually missed about 80 to 90% of the questions. And after about 15 years of that, I decided I'd do a test. So the first night when they walked in, I'd give them the test, never having looked at the Bible. And the next week I'd give them the test after they'd read it. Same test. Now what I expected to happen pretty much did. Because when they took the test the second time, they missed just as many as the first time. Because they really weren't reading the Bible. As a matter of fact, what I really expected, to be honest, was that they would miss more after they'd read their assignment. That's what I expected. And one lady did, but the rest of them missed, the whole class missed just about exactly what they missed before. And I was trying to get across the point to them that they weren't paying attention to what they were reading. I knew they weren't going to pay attention ahead of time, so I thought I'd add that in there to show them. I don't know that it would work with you. I'll tell you why. First of all, because so many of you have taken it several times before, and in discussions during the week, you give away answers, and you're really getting people's way by doing that. It's normal, nothing wrong with it, but you're getting their way by looking over old material, giving old material to the students who haven't taken it before, preparing them for what they'll see on the test and what they hear in the class. You really are doing more harm than good. That's why I'd rather have a class of 50 people I'd never heard of before. Some of my best classes have had Muslims, Mormons, and I love those classes. So keep that part to a minimum. You're not really doing them any favor by preparing them for what I'm going to do to them. Not doing them any favor at all. Now, I have already put beside your seats, those of you who took it last week, I've already put beside your seats, somewhere around your doors behind you, I think, your test you took last week. Turn them over, those of you who took them, and compare them to what you did this week. I suspect that you people will make an improvement from one test to the other, but that wasn't what I found in the community college. I said, you might want to listen to Brother Wendell, because I might add his question to your test next week. What do you say, Wendell?
In question 22.
22?
Chapter 9, verse 13.
What is question 22?
About the rainbow in the sky. Because it left off part of what was in 9:13, I put it as false.
Why? What did it leave off that was in 9:13?
He included everything. He said the earth.
Well, that didn't mean it was false that he made the covenant with every living creature of all flesh.
But it didn't include everything that he included in 9:13.
Well, let me see here. Wendell said 9:13 leaves off the earth. He wanted that question to include God's covenant with the earth. Well, Wendell, what about question number 15? Yeah, but there were animals in there too. All right. That's right. I left off the animals altogether. That was an obvious false question. What? All right, now, she's got to speak up so you can hear her. I know you're dying to hear this question. Go right ahead, Carol. The last one?
Yes, God created man as a vegetarian, and man began to eat flesh and apple.
Question number 23, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
What was the question? While everybody's watching. Oh, okay. That's okay. I made a mistake, and Bob said he got to got to do it right. Okay. Well, you can count that right. Okay, folks. Now you ready for your real test? Let's get it done fast. Everybody's test turned in? Let's read Genesis 1. I'm not going to... You know, I didn't have any question on there who was the first man, who was the first woman. figured if you missed that, you're going to miss anything. I just want to go through the Bible here and point out some things you might not be aware of as you went through. If you have any question on any chapter, speak up. By the way, when I taught this course in Lexington one time, Bill Hilton, Mary Hilton, Leanne, Billy Highfield, and the group of them got together and bought me this tie. Wow. And asked me to wear it whenever I taught on creation. So I forgot last week, so I thought I'd wear it this week. Sorry. I like that tie. It's something God created. A panda bear and her baby. Up in some kind of tree.
The eucalyptus.
Yeah, you up in a eucalyptus tree. They must not have liked me. But I like it anyway. Do you remember that, Leanne? You don't remember that?
That's maybe you. Mary Hilton's tie.
Yeah, that looks like a Mary Hilton tie there. You might not have been a part of that. I thought you were. Maybe you didn't know what you were a part of. Okay. Rebecca asked me a question about verse 2. The earth was without form and void. What was the word there for without form? It's a Hebrew word that means without form. It just means nothing. Just a useless, wasteless, well, I mean, useless, waste, wilderness, empty. Sometimes it's translated confusion, vanity. It's just nothing. Matter of fact, one or two times it's translated nothing. It's just, I like the Septuagint. You ever heard of the Septuagint translation of the Bible? You know where it comes from? Septuagint is a Greek word for 70. And rumor has it, now I'm just going to shorten it real quick to get past it, that I think it was down in Egypt, the king down in Egypt, isolated 70 Hebrew scholars to translate the Old Testament, separate them so he could see how their translations compared to each other. This never happened. But this is the legend behind the Septuagint. It's a very, in places, very poor translation of the Bible. But it's about, I don't know, close to 1,000 years. I don't know how old it is. Maybe 2,000 years old. Anyway, at the end of 70 days, he got the 70, and they all finished at exactly the same time. It was amazing. And when they compared all their translations, they were word for word the same. Isn't that amazing? Just makes you want to run right out and read the Septuagint, doesn't it? But I do like the Septuagint's translation of the first part of verse 2, because it says the earth was unsightly and unfurnished. And that's what it was, what it is, without form and void. All right, I do not care about you memorizing anything. You don't ever have to worry about trying to memorize what God created on what day and all like that. I'm not interested in you memorizing the Bible. I just want you to learn it. We've gone through the thing about the firmament. One time, I was at Bob's house, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to read the first chapter of Genesis. I'm going to show you something. And I thought, shut. I've been teaching it for how many years? 12, 15 years at that time. And I said, and even in those classes where we didn't have enough students for it to go into the next part or even finish the first few weeks out, I always read Genesis 1. I thought I had that down. But I knew better than to think I had it down past Jesus. And so I went into Bob's kitchen and sat down with my Bible. And he taught me something here in verse 9. And this is it. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And when I read that for the first time in my life, whether I was reading in Hebrew or English, I realized that in the beginning there was one vast landmass. Geologists teach that. It's called Pangaea. All land. One land. If you slide South America and North America eastward, they fit right into Africa and Europe. and tell where God broke them apart. If the sea, and the way he showed that to me is that he showed me if the waters were gathered together into one place, there's not but one place for the land to be. So the land had to be in one place if all the waters were gathered together into one place. I just thought I'd throw that out to you because I thought maybe you would have read past that. In verse 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth." And it was so. And that verse reminds me of what the Lord spoke to Uncle Joe when he was picking oranges down in Florida during the time in his life when he came down with cancer. And the Lord spoke to him when he was picking those oranges and said, the seed is in the fruit. And he was talking about your life and his. You bear fruit to Christ, you're going to sow some seed because the seed is in the fruit. That was a good lesson. Don't really have anything that much to go over in the first part of this. It's pretty cut and dry. I know there are a lot of questions. I have questions too, but may not be any answers. And I don't mind at all telling you I don't know. You got a question?
What formed the light on day one?
What formed the light?
Yeah, if the sun didn't.
Well, you know, Paul said in, God make light. God doesn't need the sun to have light, of course. Because Paul said, God dwells in light that no man can approach to. Mm-hmm. There are probably many different kinds of light, just like there are many different kinds of darkness. So whatever God used to make light then, it's going to be on the new earth because the sun and moon's going to be done away with, but there's going to be light everywhere. And Brother Delbert, when he was called up into heaven and talked with Jesus back 20 years ago, close to it, he said the light up there didn't cast any shadows on anything. He kept looking around. Light would be coming toward him and he'd look behind him, and apparently light just goes through things. And there are no shadows in the presence of God. So there are all kinds of different lights.
Hey, John. Chapter 1, verse 26, that God
said... Oh, we're going to get down to that.
Oh, we're not there yet.
By the way, I thought it was interesting one time when I looked up in verse 20... Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl, that the birds came from the waters.
Yeah.
They didn't come from dinosaurs. They came from water. Also, when it says moving creature, that's exactly the same Hebrew words as living soul. Whether you're talking about animals or people, they're both called nefesh hayah, living soul. Just thought that was interesting, too. Okay, now, verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now, Christopher, if I'm walking down the street, if you're walking down the street and I'm inside my house and you hear me say something like this, how many of us are in this house? Can you tell me? Just walking down the street, you don't see anything. You can't see in my windows or anything. If you hear me say, in the house, out of sight, how many of us are in this house? Can you give the answer to that question?
No.
That's right. Why can't you?
Because I don't know.
Because you don't know. Well, when we read the word us there, that is not a proof of a Trinity. You can't peek in the window and see what's going on. Who would the Father have been talking to, Rob?
Jesus.
The Son. We know it was two. And I don't believe there are any more than that.
Yep.
I don't think there's anybody else whose image that God would have created us in. As far as image and likeness, don't try to spiritualize that. It's physical. It's a physical likeness and physical image. I know that in my generation and this one, there are a lot of people that say that, you know, cows are just as special a creature as you are. And a porcupine has just as many rights. But They have to spiritualize this to make that true. This earth is especially yours. The earth has He given to the sons of men, but the heaven belongs to God. I looked up the word likeness and image all the way through the Old Testament, and every time it has to do with a physical appearance. So you ever have any questions about that, let me know. I'll show you where those scriptures are. Let me show you one real quick over in Genesis 5, verse 3. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. See, it's not some metaphorical, allegorical kind of thing. He had a son that was a miniature him, as far as shape goes. All righty. When He created man and woman in verse 28, He told them to be fruitful and multiply, and that was before they fell. They did not have any children before sin entered through the camp. I wonder what it would have been like if they had. But they didn't. In verse 29, God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." That's just a word for food. It doesn't mean, you know, what we call meat. It just means for food. "And God gave every herb to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. There was no meat-eating monsters before the flood. Unless spiritually things on earth had become so perverse that some animals and people really did start eating each other. And I don't doubt that that could have been the case. But it wasn't the way God intended it to be, and that's one reason He destroyed the place. Any other questions about chapter 1? All right, chapter 2, verse 2. "On the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made." Cliff? You think God rested on the seventh day because He got tired? No. Why? Would you have gotten tired if you'd done all that?
No.
Yeah, you would have. In other words, God's not a great big one of you. No, it didn't stress God out to create everything. Verse 5, "God had not caused it to rain upon the earth." The physics of earth and heaven at that time did not allow for the formation of rain clouds. So we know when the flood time came, God changed the physics of heaven and earth. "There went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." The scientists who believe in creation, who believe the Bible, also teach that, at least all I've ever heard of teach, that the whole earth must have been something like tropical. With this mist from rising from the earth. In verse 7, "The Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." True or false, Jimmy, was that in the Garden of Eden or not? He wasn't in the Garden of Eden. He created him outside the garden and then put him in it. And when He cast him out of the garden, He cast him out to till the ground out of which you were made. So He does mention that. In verse 8, we need some more Kleenexes, is that? Bob, your face is getting red again. He put him in the garden afterward. Verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed." Now, I've got a question. John David, it says here, here's a geographical location, a garden eastward in Eden. Eastward from where?
Where is that?
What?
Where is that?
Verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden." Eastward from where? We haven't had anywhere yet to talk about. What do you think, Debbie Gregory? Mm-hmm. You don't know either. Travis, eastward where?
Eastward within Eden.
No, huh? That's a nice try. Yeah, I know it. It's eastward from somewhere, and that's in Eden. Where is it, Carol? There's an old saying, all roads lead to Rome. That's all roads unless you're reading the Bible. If you're reading the Bible, all roads lead to Canaan's land. Somewhere on the earth east of Canaan's land is the Garden of Eden. Listen, Canaan's land is the top of everything. If you're riding over Canaan's land in an airplane and you bail out, when you parachute, you don't parachute down to Jerusalem, you parachute up to Jerusalem. Everybody goes up to Jerusalem no matter what direction they come in. Everybody goes, all directions are taken from Canaan's land, east, west, north, south.
Does that mean that Eden is east of the Jordan River?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's...
Who knows? It's not anywhere on this earth. I mean, the earth's been so torn up after the flood. Who knows where the rocks that once were there are? Unless God just took it off the earth. But when Moses wrote this, and there we'll have clues all the way through that Moses wrote it, Canaan was there. And he's just saying it was that way. How far that way? I don't know. Somewhere eastward from Canaan. You start out at Canaan, then you go down, wherever you go. If you started at Canaan's land and got in a rocket and went to the moon, you'd be going down. You go down from Jerusalem to the moon. That's the Old Testament.